No, you don't. Okay. We'll hear you. Hey, we have a big episode. It's Thursday. No, it's Tuesday.
No, not yet. It starts with a T.
It's Tuesday, but we have a big episode. There is breaking news that we're going to be announcing at the end of this podcast. But today,
you have to listen to the whole one.
Listen to the whole thing. We're going to tease it the entire time. But we're talking about not only dadding hard, husbanding hard, and we have for the first time a mom in the studio.
Yeah.
So we're going to get at it this morning.
I was going to say a woman, but we had one last week.
I know. So here we go. Cue music. And we're back. If you're watching this,
I kind of hope we don't put the music in this one.
Yeah,
exactly. Now that it said cue music.
Well, I was like, how do I make it look for the camera? Welcome back, YouTubers, which is five of us.
Also, like podcasters.
And podcasters. Listeners. Welcome back to our listeners. I'm Vinny Dunleavy.
Danny McCartney.
And we're joined by Daniel Brodsky, our producer extraordinaire. And we are two dads talking about dad life. What else do we talk about, Danny?
That's pretty much it.
Pretty much it. So we're hopefully you learn a little bit about our lives and enjoy this. And if not, then just fast forward.
Screw you.
don't tell anybody. However, if you do like this, please tell your family and friends. I queued a little bit of this up before, but we have a big episode. We are joined by a mom, and not only a mom, but a wife, to a dad who dads hard, as well. Actually, her name is Amanda. I do the worst intros. Amanda Henry Godino is joining us in the podcast.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Keep the mic. We're going to be really close. Okay. So close.
So close.
Is that a song? That's a terrible song. Anybody who watches Bravo will know the name of the song So Close. You can DM me. I can't even tell you where
don't
I know
sing
song
it.
From.
You started singing a song another time.
It's terrible.
Yeah, what was that?
It was another housewife song.
Yes.
I think you're right.
Let's not go down that path. but Amanda actually has two husbands, her real life husband. And for those on the who may know me or not know me, but Amanda is now my newest work wife.
My
newest.
Office husband. Yeah. Latest. We all switch. Let's not kid ourselves. One leaves, you get a new one. You need them.
You need wives everywhere.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Yep. So, but today what we wanted to get into is we're going to talk about what is it like? Well, I forgot the biggest, what we're going to name this episode, because this is we don't usually touch on a lot of political things going on. But I believe this is what we're going to be calling our Me Too episode, since for the last year and a half, we have not necessarily had a female's perspective on this podcast.
True. Yeah.
And the amount of people writing in complaining about that is
I've been begging, frankly, to come. Yeah, begging to come.
I don't think we can take the heat anymore. Yeah. It was sort of like, we just have to jump in and do it.
Yeah.
So we want to dive into the world of, in order to dad hard, that means you needed to have a partner.
Yep.
In Danny and I's cases, we have wives.
Yep.
What is it like? What does that mean to husband hard? And then we're going to dive into some other hot topics that are going on in the world of politics and how we talk to our kids about it. So, and then we have breaking news. So let's get at it.
Clearing the slate. I like that.
And I'm going to come in and out of camera while we do this. So Amanda, first of all, we have talked about this before you coming here. Can you talk a little bit about why you love our podcast so much and why you wanted to come here today?
Well, it's funny.
Self-serving.
Right.
Self-serving. tell everybody why.
Why I begged to get here. Yeah. Why I begged to get here was I do think every now and then you guys could use a female perspective on this. But I also 100% applaud what you're doing, because there is a thing as a modern dad. And you guys are proving out that, one, I think there's two things. One, you guys lean into parenting in a way that I think our dads probably did not do. But then, two, the fact that you guys are shining a light on the fact that there's been a lot of, like, you know, moms being the best thing at work. Well, you're like, but let's not us forget that dads are a part of this, too. And I think that Vinny's done a good job of that at work. I know that you've complimented people that have been trying to, like, bring light to the fact that fathers are a big part of kids' lives moving forward. And you can't just applaud the mom always.
I'm like the Barack Obama of dads.
You really are.
There is hope. There is hope out there, gentlemen.
It's really all just about himself. He just
True.
Doesn't
Good point.
Want people not to congratulate him for well, whatever he's doing at that moment.
It's a promotional vehicle. Let's not kid ourselves. The man is in sales and marketing, so I get it.
Listen, you all have to. I said to my wife when we started this, I think I've said this before, but my wife said, "Why are you doing a podcast about how I'm a terrible mom?" And I said, "No, it's just how I'm an awesome dad." And I think that is part of where us as guys don't pat ourselves on the back enough.
True.
For being a dad. We pat ourselves on the back for a lot of other things.
Yeah. Totally.
How we are in the bedroom, how we cook.
Right.
What our dad bods look like.
Yeah.
But we don't necessarily compliment ourselves being
your salaries.
Yeah.
Our salaries.
That's a big one.
Our direct deposits.
Vinny was the first dad that ever said we're pregnant.
Oh, man. Yeah. Pregnant. He wanted the couple's baby shower. He craved that.
You guys actually do not know how true this is, and I will bring this. I should have photos.
We just
went through. For anybody who used to work with me at my former job, when my wife was pregnant with Emily, people do like pregnancy photo shoots. And normally I think when you do them, I think 95% of them are usually just the picture of the woman with her belly.
Vinny's in the fucking
so shoot.
Yes, he is.
Kiss on the stomach.
Yeah, yeah. Painting it into a pumpkin.
Oh, you're just getting going.
Wow. Really?
Vinny has their stomachs touching.
I have my shirt off.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
I have my hand on her boobs.
Sweet.
Like kissing her stomach. Oh, it catches.
Jesus. And not only this is early in the morning conversation. Right.
And not only
we might have to post these out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think this is part of it.
We have a whole photo album of it. And then I, not even realizing,
I brought
it to work. I brought it to my job and was like, guys, look at how great my wife looks. And they're like, are you two lunatics?
But like, that's my question. Where do you put that up? Over the fireplace mantle?
We did an Apple photo book. This is back when the Apple and the MacBooks were so nice.
It's on a shelf now.
Was this meant as a joke?
No, that's not
hard. You'd think so.
This is dead serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never yet seen a photo of someone pregnant that I've been like, oh, damn, maybe I wished I'd done that. Never.
No, ever. Ever.
No, I just think they look really contrived and weirdo. And again, where are you putting that up?
So one is in our bedroom right now. And because we also then got two of them blown up. The two we got blown up, though, were just of my wife.
We didn't put
me in it.
Yeah.
So one we have of my wife that's like 2.5 by 3. It's like 2 by 3. It's a nice size.
2 by 3.
2 feet by 3.
Does anyone have
two
an image?
Feet?
What?
Do you have that image of Rose from Titanic in your head right now where she's like lounging exactly. back? Do you remember the Rose photo?
That's
paint me like one of your French girls, Jack.
So we have one that's big, but that's so when we had
if
this
you're measuring a poster in feet?
Yes. That's
wow. Oh, it's big. And then when we had Shane, we decided to do it again.
2 by 3.
But
is it flanking the bed now?
Well, it's sort of hidden now behind a bookshelf.
It's a wallet picture.
Like, I have one though stuck in a closet because when we had Shane, we did it again. So I wanted to make another one for Elisa, and I thought I was making it the same size, but I didn't do the right measurements.
You did it by 3 feet.
So then we got
it. Did it by yards.
So literally, I have one. If what size is Daniel's TV?
Jesus.
55 inch.
Come
on. If you were to turn that on its side, I have a giant one of Elisa.
Wow.
Just like in like her bra and her belly.
Jesus.
But it's in a closet because our house isn't. It's like there's no space to put.
That's like
even if still, there was space.
That's my point. Like, you want your random trick or treaters to see that when they open the front door? I mean, bravo to your wife for that, but I could not do it.
It's a mess. And the second one we did, we had Emily in the mix. But I didn't realize they were weird until I kept showing everybody the book. And then this weekend, we redid our living room, so we took out all our photo books. And then I found it again, and I was like, oh, man, look at this shoot. And then I was like, at one point, my buddy's a headshot photographer. I'll give a shout-out to @PeterHurley. He's phenomenal. And he did his photos for us. So like, we had a change of clothes. I mean, Elisa had her hair done. Wow. It was like a four and a half hour legit. Listen.
So I think it's fair to say you also do the first year cake smash pictures and all that stuff.
It's just about us. We don't really save or blow. Even our wedding photos are more like they're my wife. Like our wedding photos in our house are really just more my wife. I'm not really in any of them.
Huh.
It's because she looked good. So it's really just about finding the right photo. We do like a good professional photographer.
Okay.
So locally.
That's my thing. I'm not blowing
get the
that
family
kind of loot
friend
every year.
That just happens to do it for you on the
exactly.
side.
Yeah,
I want
just to put up extra pictures on their
right,
site.
Right, just to get your holiday card. Let's be serious. That's all you really do.
Oh, 100%. No, we have locally in Port Washington our friend Kathy Gillian. She's phenomenal as a photographer, and we do her photos. But she's like a working mom who does it on the side. Love it, and they do come out good. But we do like a good. It's all about your hair, though, before you get the photo done. Not for me, but for Elisa.
Getting her hair done.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you want to have something that night to go to.
No,
right?
That's an added bonus if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two, three in one.
Put in as much stuff that weekend
as
possible.
Get the hair done,
you
makeup
guys really
done,
understand
take the
what
pictures,
a blowout's
and then
all
go
about
out.
Here.
Yeah.
If you understand our desire for a good photo, we become so focused on just the photo shoot.
That's all you're
you
doing.
Talk about that. You talked about that on 4th of July. This weekend, you had a post about like you took a picture with Shane like 100 times or something.
Oh, I literally took like, I took 1,000 photos on my phone. I take a million photos on my phone and I delete them from the right. I could not get the right photo.
My husband, I've like made this joke that if I die, he's never going to have a picture of me. The only photos he has on his phone are of craft beers he's enjoyed or meat he's
awesome.
Grilled.
Awesome.
Literally, if I die tomorrow, I don't know how on earth they're going to they're going to have to hopefully open my phone up.
You don't think
and I don't even know if then they'll have
those. Does he have
selfies.
Photos of him and his kids?
No.
Because I don't
he
have
has
many.
Pictures of the kids.
I have more photos of me and the kids than I do my wife.
I won't.
No,
have,
no, no.
I'm just the kids, really.
Yeah, Paul's
like
kids,
what's
beer,
going
and,
on.
And meat. And that's it. And he knows this. This is not going to end my marriage by him listening to this podcast, but.
Well, no, yeah, proof is in the pudding. So open the phone up.
Open your phone, dude. Like, do you have proof that I exist? Yeah. There's no proof of life in there.
That isn't it. Well, and maybe when you do your estate planning, I would bring that up because the more important thing would be is when you have your funeral is making sure there's a lot of photos of you hanging
out. No,
up
I've said that.
Place.
We've attended funerals where I've said, this will look really bad when I die.
No, you want to be
like, you don't want people drawing
FYI,
pictures
FYI, my kids are going to have crayon drawings up if I, God forbid,
I will be pre-planning my funeral. Don't worry.
We'll have
everybody
holograms.
There will know my PowerPoint.
Yeah. We'll have holograms at that point so you can actually interact with the dead person at different stages of
their life.
Right, exactly.
10-year-old Vinny.
Exactly. Totally. Good point.
Want to have a catch with him?
Yes. That would be cool.
Maybe what I'll start doing is recordings at different decades of my life, and then I'll play them. You know, like, this is me when I was 40.
And
then
this
we'll
is
do
an
a
idea.
Reel.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that on the that may go on the list.
Before we move on, I just want to give you a quick tip. When you're taking pictures, keep the live pictures on. That way you don't have to take a dozen.
Yeah.
Yes, true.
Because then
find
you can
the
just
one.
Look
choose
through
one.
The live picture.
It's a good Apple tip right there.
I find
it takes up a ton of memory, but you're right.
Yeah.
Correct. But I find when I try to change the markup in the live photo, it's blurry. So I believe Apple's giving me the best one.
Sometimes I agree, but you'll find a good one in there.
Lord.
Excuse me. Sorry.
You'll see, you do need a female influence here.
Yeah. Give it a whirl next week.
I'll give it a whirl. I will debate the live photo. So last time, actually, one thing I want to bring up is more recently. Mother's Day was first. No, what was it?
Yes. Mother's Day is always first.
Mm-hmm. Mother's Day was always first. And then we had Father's Day.
May comes before June.
Yes.
And now we're in July.
Yes.
I do want to give a shout out to Amanda because I think of all the my wife has always
Merry
done well.
Merry Christmas.
My wife has always done well by me for her gift giving. I don't really remember what she gave me this year for Father's Day, but I think it was good and I enjoyed it. However, you talk a little bit about what this is. You want to talk about a good gift for a father. And guys, listen up. Tell your wives next birthday, this is what they should be doing.
So my husband's a beer nerd, as I've already stated. It's all that's on his phone. He and our neighbor are beer nerds together. So we decided, texted my neighbor and I said, hey, how about we send the boys on a craft beer tour for the afternoon? Well, let's rent them a car and they can go around Brooklyn and Queens to like their, you know, some fave spots. And she's like, great, let's figure it out. That sounds perfect. So I conned Paul into telling me some of his favorite breweries. And
or you just look through his phone, take all the pictures.
I could have done that. I didn't. I actually ended up talking to him. Good note. I should have done that. But I asked him and I was like, oh, I made up some BS thing about someone needing a brewery tour. So we put it together and rented them a car. It was actually pretty funny because they take off and we'd pack them like snacks and water, trying to be thoughtful about, you know, both
like
their
they're
health,
going on a hike,
their health, but also really not wanting to spend the next $200 in case someone vomited in the car.
Yep.
But when they got home, Paul had tried to be sweet on the return and went to like my favorite Italian bakery in Williamsburg and was trying to bring home cannolis. Mm. He ended up somehow sitting on the box of pastries.
No.
The man literally got out of the car with a pastry stuck to his ass.
Oh.
It was all
that's
over
the thought
car.
That counts.
He tried, and evidently he was feeding cannolis to the driver.
Of course
the driver
was
having a great time.
Yes.
I brought out a vacuum to clean up the car because I was God. Like there was just like pastry shell everywhere.
Well, and you're like, I'm not going to get hit with this bill.
I was happy. The funny thing is, our neighbor stumbles out of the car, and I thought, oh, hell, like he's puked.
What's
like,
next?
and he came out. They were a disaster. That said, he did dad so hard that night in the sense that he actually kept his shit together and helped me with the kids. There were some comical moments. Like I said to him at one point, I'm like, hey, I need to get Calvin's sheets out of the dryer. He goes downstairs, grabs his sheets, takes them upstairs to the bedroom, comes down, he goes, is his bed made? I go, are you kidding me? You literally just took the sheets up. But they had a great time. They were so happy. And it was, you know, I he needed a break from being a dad. So I let him go for the afternoon and cruise around and come home with piles
of beer.
And
he proved that there's no amount of booze that stops you from dadding.
No, he's done the opposite where I've been like, no, please go to bed. Like, I don't need you here now.
You're only going to make things worse.
Yeah, and the kids are going to have questions in the morning. Let's avoid that for now. You know?
My wife, it tends to be when I'm too loud when I come home. She's like, you're just too loud. Stop talking.
I'm just too loud always. It can be 4 o'clock in the afternoon, stone sober. Danny, what are you doing? You're so loud. The kids, like, Brady, Cody's taking a nap. Sorry. I don't know.
But that's when you go, listen, it needs to be loud. If they want to focus in life, they need to multitask and hear other things and keep sleeping.
It's not a bad thing. Yeah. True.
No.
Good point.
The more noise, the better.
Yeah. But yeah, I got some points for that Father's Day gift.
So Amanda, knowing that your husband does dad hard, can you give our listeners some tips as to how to support a man who dads hard? What are things you could do to either
support
do you compliment him as a dad, or do you like, what do you as a wife, how do you handle the fact that he is such a phenomenal father? And what advice do you have for maybe some of our female listeners out there?
I'm a huge believer that you still have to have date nights. You have to have nights. And I get that it gets stupid expensive, especially in New York. Are you kidding me? Like, it can get ridiculous to go out for the evening. But you do need to remember who you were as a couple. And I don't think people do that enough, because once kids come along, you just start focusing on, like, oh, we got to get them into the right school, the right camp. We got to get them into all these extracurricular activities. But you got to remember how it all started. It started with the two of you. And you start, and like, there's been times that we've let date nights go for a while, and all of a sudden I realize all I'm doing is triaging life via text message with this man.
Yeah.
And I actually get a little bit nervous about going on a date with him. It's like dating all over again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell are we going to talk about?
What are we going to talk about? Right.
Yeah. I remember texting a girlfriend when Paul and I were going out. I'm like, it's like I've been texting this guy a little bit, and I think we like each other, but I'm not sure if he's going to like so dig funny. Me. So like, and I realized like, you have to do that. You have to really go out to date night. And then it is, because we're a dual income family, like, it is trying to take on those little extra things. Like, if I'm up a little bit early, I'll get the lunches done and not depend on him to do it. It's just division of duties, and we're good about that, I think. But, like, again, I think women sometimes take on too much, and I certainly have girlfriends that they do everything. Mm-hmm. And then they complain, and I'm like, but you're not asking for the help or insisting for the help, and then that creates a problem. Mm-hmm. Then there's a lot of...
And I do think most guys will... I think we could be proactive with stuff, but if somebody else is going to do something, I'm going to let them go do it.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it. I think one of the biggest things is asking for help and insisting for help, because, again, Vinny, like, if someone's continuously doing something, you kind of fall into those bad habits just, oh, I thought that just happened.
Well, like, it goes both ways. You know? Like, there's times that I recognize that, like, my husband will... We take on certain duties that I guess we're comfortable in our zones. Yeah. Like, I don't know when the oil needs to be changed in the car next. Like, he takes care of that. Right. It's not great. I should certainly be a little more cognizant of it. So, like, I can do it. But it does become something you can get lazy about. Yeah. But I also think women just... they'll bitch that their husbands aren't helping. But I'm like, but you haven't made that known that you'd like that help in those moments. And you do have to say it. You know, it's not, you know, say it before you're nagging about it.
Exactly. Right. And sometimes passive aggressive doesn't always come across the best
way. Exactly. Agreed.
Sometimes I live in a passive aggressive world.
Yeah. It'll just result to a fight and then nothing will get resolved. Right,
exactly.
I do like to call it out, though. I'm like, that is passive aggressive. I mean, so give us some tips on what does he do? And I think for Danny and I, what do you think we could do to at least also show more appreciation to our wives? Or what are some of the good things that are easy? Because I don't think either of us can handle that many difficult things. But what are some easy things we could do to add to our lives that our wives maybe would appreciate more?
I think, honestly, God, it's a simple thing of just sending a text to be like, thanks for the help with this, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just a simple thank you, I think, goes farther than anyone admits. And it can happen really, really easily.
Could that text be a Bitmoji? Could it be a photo? Could it be a meme?
It could definitely be a Giphy. A Giphy? Is that how you
I
say
I want to simplify
this. Yeah. But I think, too, it is a little bit... ladies love to be surprised. So with this, I'm going to say, you need to plan your damn 10-year anniversary trip to Italy.
I know. I don't plan.
See, this
I'm
is
not
why work
good.
Wives
yeah.
are good.
Yeah.
I'll do the nagging. Your wife just will
I've
benefit
actually,
from this.
I actually will. My wife reminds... there's a running list of like 4 things that she has asked me to do for the past, like, now going on 10 years. And
so
I'm like, oh, yeah.
Awesome.
And I realized this weekend, actually, I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, yeah, because she planned.
So
she's planned some stuff for me, but I don't.
Oh, it already happened, didn't it?
Oh, it passed.
Yeah. And he was going to take her to Italy. And then, no.
Well, there was a bit
not?
Of a financial crisis, like, in my
house. There's always a financial crisis of some form or fashion. Everyone's lives.
You figure it out.
Yeah, you put credit cards. Use those airline miles. I'm just saying those big surprises are also a way of like.
Every week and every weekend I hear every time we're going someplace and people. Well, now one of our friends just went to Paris on Facebook and my wife was like kept sending me photos and forwarding me the post of like where we need to go. She's like, I get reminders every week of like, remember now it's going to be 11 years. Where are you bringing me?
So it's just 10 plus one. So why don't you just plan that? Make the big surprise and just stick to it. Go for it.
I tend to be. I can make a million excuses.
You say you're cheap, but you're really not.
I know, but when it, I know.
You really aren't.
I'm not. I'm cheap when it comes to my marriage.
Jesus.
That's terrible.
And there we are.
And I've already been helpful. Look at the therapy session.
We see each other every day.
But you don't see each other like a awesome glass of Barolo in the middle of Tuscany.
I know. We need to.
Here's the best part. Vinny asks what we could be doing better and for advice.
And then he resists it.
Rebuttals you.
Right.
Like, well, here's why I can't do that.
Well, how about this? Vacation sex is probably the best sex marriage couples can have. That's something you could do.
I believe it's phenomenal.
Step above makeup sex.
Right, exactly. It's better than argument sex. It's better than like, we haven't done this in a while. So it's better than drunken sex. Vacation sex is awesome.
That's true.
So I'm going to go on record that by May of June of 2020, by next May, because our anniversary is in January.
Okay.
And I have to figure, I don't think January is the best time to go to Italy.
No, definitely.
So I get a 6-month leeway from my 11-year
anniversary. I've already given you like a travel agent to use. It's a big trip to plan.
So we'll give you some time.
I'm going to give myself,
I gave him a travel agent that literally you pay this woman and she books everything for you.
I know. It was like she does everything. It made it so easy.
Like they send you a binder and you're done.
Is she more expensive than if you just had done it yourself?
Probably yes. But I would say for definitely just the hassle saving, of it, yeah. forget it. Like, cause you literally your train tickets, your car rental. This one is awesome.
Yeah, plus or minus. Stuff. When I do the research on it,
it's done. And you also don't have to look like an idiot tourist. Like, literally, she prints everything out. So day by day, it's like take a left out of your hotel today, and you're at the Campo de Fiori. Buy yourself a nice cup.
There's literally no reason why I can't do everything.
So it's turnkey.
That's pretty good.
Do you need it for a honeymoon?
No, go on.
I told them this. She also does France if you want to go to Paris.
No, she wants it's Italy. We can't. I found an Instagrammer who does all this food stuff, and he was recently in Sicily. And I said to my phone, oh, you guys should follow this guy. It's like great food.
And she was like,
photos.
No, I'm not going to do
it. She was like, you moron. Like, I don't want to look
wow,
at
Wow, this
it.
Is getting
you
bad.
Need to
See,
bring
like,
me there.
Vinny, you need to stop this because it's become like sand in your shorts kind of moment.
Well, now it's gotten to the point of a comedy show because every time somebody talks about Italy,
I'm worried about him.
All the conversation leads to is, oh, yeah, I've told my husband that's where we're supposed to be going for our anniversary. And then I just sit there and laugh.
Jesus.
But I will
just take Italian.
Do something big and like awesome.
So what I'm getting out of this is, what I'm getting out of this is, I'm going to do more Bitmoji text.
Yeah.
And I will plan a real big anniversary vacation.
Here's a quick question. Why can't you guys both plan it?
Yeah, does
it
have to be a surprise?
He owes it to her at this point. Yeah. I think he owes it to her. Now, I do think, I don't know, my husband would tell you I always plan the vacations.
I like it, though. You spoke with the travel agent.
Yeah. And he's cool with that. Like, one, we have similar travel styles. Like, both of us are, you know, get up relatively early and go. Like, so there's never that hassle that I'm like, oh, I'm planning things that he'd rather sleep in. But yeah, I think you owe this one to her.
I like to spend money on a lot of, I like to go high volume, but for a lot of cheap shit. My wife is all about making a big purchase. So we just, when we released our car, we have another car coming up. I have nothing to do with it. I say, go do it. I have too much anxiety over the car purchase. Even like we're going to Christmas, we're going to California. And I was like, oh, let's do it. And I know that I was not getting it done because I was like, I don't want to have to pay $3,000 for plane tickets.
Yeah.
So she, though, was like, she's like, oh, we're going. Okay. Bing, bing, boom. Like when the cash register receipt has a 2000 plus sign on it, was sign Elisa up for the purchase.
Yeah. She's like, that was worth it.
She is like, this is what part of me feels like, so on big vacations, like the anxiety.
I'm okay with a big vacation price tag, but I will not pay that for a purse. Like, I freak about a purse. In my head, I just envision that purse being on the subway floor at some point that I don't want it to be, but it has to be because I'm just cramped
She's not good with shopping. Like, she refuses to
buy.
Like, so I will buy herself stuff. So I'm not cheap when it comes to that. I'll buy a purse for holiday. Like, I encourage her to, in a world of where this is really where our finances are screwed up, I got her very early on when she was in law school. She was bad at her finances, and so I made her crazy about spending money. So to this day, she has anxiety about going to the ATM. and so will not take cash out of the ATM. And
it doesn't matter anymore, though.
Well, just, right. I like to have cash, so I always take cash out and give to her. But like, what happens is like the days that I go, just run to the ATM and have cash. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, we're in overdraft, and she's like, we have no money. So the amount of text messages, like, in her company store, there's a problem with the credit card machine sometimes, so they have to run it, like, twice in order for it to go. And she knows this. Yeah. However, the first time it runs, and it says card denied, happens to everybody, I get a text.
She has a panic attack.
There's no money in our checking account. And more recently, I feel like we've been better at our finances, so I'll say the last recently meeting 6 months, we haven't hit overdraft, so I've been, honey, we're fine. But it just so happens that when she does, she gets crazy, and then, because we're not like a...
See, we have two, I don't have a...
She's trusting me that, like, if I die,
you have a joint checking account?
Money.
Yeah, we have separate.
We have separate.
We have separate and a joint.
We have a joint only because everyone gave us checks at our wedding, and that's what sits
exactly
in there.
That's exactly what
but
do.
Otherwise,
oh, really?
It's separate. Oh. Separate bank accounts.
No, we have nothing separate.
And we try
clothes.
To divide up the bills. I think we're relatively close, but like
that's we started. What we started doing was we each would deposit into the joint and then take the joint for bills. But then it just got easier to be like, oh, you pay this bill, I'll pay that bill. You pay this bill, I'll pay that bill.
That seems so complicated.
And now the joint is just kind of sitting out
there. That's ours. That's exactly what we do. Our financial advisor always laughs at us because we'll sit there and talk about, I have this much money in my bank account. And he'll say,
same.
You both do. And we're like, but I don't look at it that way. Like,
how do you manage?
Literally last night, we're trying to figure out bills. Mary Jane was like, how much do you have? He's like, all right, well, I got this.
That's we're doing a house renovation and we're kind of each taking a check. And I'm like, do you have enough? Yeah, we do not have... I think I was older when we got married. So,
and here's what I find too, and Vinny, correct me if I'm wrong, because it seems like this is what you guys do. With a joint, I feel like it's easier to lose grasp of how much you have and how much you make because you just have this one account with all this money in it.
Yes.
That is just going in. No? All right.
Let's see. We have one account with money in it. I wouldn't say
but you know what I'm saying. Like your money, your money goes in, her money goes in, and then there's just money in there.
Well, no, because you have a checking, and then what we do is we move money into we had a savings, and then other places. But no, but I actually find
it
easier because we can see how much money we have together. So if we want to go do something, I'm like, we don't have the money to do that, or actually
because you're just looking at the one number.
But see, don't you think that would make you each individually responsible a little bit more for your own purchases?
Think,
because it does for me. Like if I said that, because I could definitely shop a bit more, but I stop
myself. Neither of us. We are very disciplined. We don't make a lot of individual purchases. We don't do a lot of our own shopping for ourselves. It's mostly Amazon for the house, and stuff for the kids. We don't. If you looked at actually all of our expenses, Elise and I are very cheap with what we buy. We don't buy a lot of clothes. Now she just rent the runway, so she's never buying clothes.
I think that there's more people like us, though.
I think so, too.
Because I think people are getting married later. I think that they're therefore keeping everything separate. You did for all those
years.
Well,
it sounds like you guys like to shop for yourselves.
Well, that's also true. I don't want any,
And I want to have my own, if I want to get this, I'm going to get it. And I don't want to have to necessarily be like, Mary Jane, is it cool if I buy this?
Yeah, I would never want to ask for permission.
Sometimes we
but
ask.
If
sometimes
it's one account, you feel like you kind of have to. Because, let's just say, for argument's sake, it's $2,000 and $2,000. But now when it's joint, it's $4,000. It's like, I'm going to buy that bigger thing.
Right. There's more money there.
Yeah.
Right,
but then you can't pay your bills. You have to be cognizant of the
effect
it has on
your family. But
that's
what I'm saying. It's easier to think like that when you have your... agree to disagree.
Yes.
We haven't gotten any.
Come see us when you're broke.
When we have no...
Do you plan at some point, would you guys join the
No. I don't. At this point, I've been married.
Really?
It'll be married 9 years in August. Like, I don't see why.
I have stress thinking about having two. If I had to log into two checking accounts and figure out.
But why would
bills,
you log into two? Yeah. I never log into
my wife's ever. She would never pay a credit card. There would be no bills paid in her.
But it's auto pay.
Somebody would have to set it up.
Wait, I don't get it. Why?
I set up all. I guess that's where we do some division of labor. I am like finance.
Yeah.
And she's
medical. That scares me because I don't want. I mean. That I watched my grandmother have no clue what was going on because my grandfather took all the
finances.
Well, give
her updates. I mean, she has free access to everything.
She didn't even know where to go. She didn't. I wouldn't want it that way. See, we'll talk about me too.
I want nothing to do with our child's. Like, she'll does all the medical care and healthcare stuff. So I feel like we just pick and choose the things to either be joint on or opposite on.
It's like I'm going to do bills. You do groceries and kids finances. I'll do things like that.
We still do it that way. But
I would say I'm fully 100% bills. She's fully, I would say, medical.
Okay.
Everything else will probably... I'm landscaping, and she's design of the house. No, I'm trying to think of the things that clearly, I would never...
She's the car.
She's the cars, and
that's
she's
a lot.
And she drives and she drives where we go on vacation, and then I generally
up until a point,
and then I generally... But she's more the bigger picture on the details.
Who's the cook?
Oh, I have to feed our house. I do the grocery shopping and the wash.
Okay.
75% of the wash is mine.
You fold it all and put it away too?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. She will never put a thing away.
That's the worst.
I put my own laundry.
I put my own clothes away.
I refuse. I don't know where any of hers go and I don't put hers away.
Yeah, I don't put my clothes away. I don't like putting my clothes away.
Neither do I.
I don't like the cleaning lady doing it. Right. Just leave them out so I know what I have and I don't put them where I want to put them and that's
it. I agree. Plus, I don't like people stealing my shit. Mary Jane takes my clothes.
Really?
She takes like my socks and stuff.
Oh, really?
Pajamas drives me crazy.
It happens.
Yeah.
You own pajamas?
Oh yeah.
What
a pajama drawer.
I sleep like a workout shorts and a t-shirt.
No, I have specific pajamas.
My husband has
pajamas.
You have real pajamas too?
Yeah.
And my pajamas.
My husband has
like
pajama
me.
Pants.
It's great.
Oh no, I don't. See, we learn something new every day. I'm not a pajama.
I have pajama pants, shorts, t-shirts, long sleeve shirts.
Yeah.
All weather.
Oh really?
No, see, he just wears a t-shirt on top. But he doesn't wear like pajama tops.
Yeah. That's what
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I wear a t-shirt, but I wear
shorts. Like their t-shirts or long sleeve shirts, depending on the weather.
Or I'll just go commando.
Come on, in New York City.
I run very hot, so it's oftentimes under the blanket. Oftentimes underneath.
Don't you love seeing in New York City, though, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, someone walking around in their pajama pants outside, and you're like, what are you doing right now?
Oh, that's me.
Taking a day off from work and like exploring and seeing what other people do during the day is really interesting.
I know. Yeah. You always wonder, are you a waiter? What are you doing?
It is a fascinating city to do that.
A lot of dog walkers.
A lot of dog walkers. Which I think couple is weed delivery. I think our old dog walker was 100%.
Yeah. Like 100%.
I mean, you're going in every apartment building in the city.
Yeah, I do.
Yes. No, there's definitely a lot. Well, New York City is unique in the fact that because most people are either now biking or walking around the city, I think it's one of those only cities that you could really sit in a coffee shop and really see what's happening versus in L.A. In other cities where more people are driving, it's harder to get a vibe.
L.A. is not walking city.
So it's harder to get a vibe. Like here, you could sit in a corner Starbucks and
Miami,
an executive. Yeah, Miami, like South Beach probably in those summers. But I mean, you could literally see people that are like business executives to everything and like the entire world can walk by you.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
On your subway car.
Yeah, correct.
So
we're getting to the end. Is there anything else? Is there anything else that we wanted to discuss?
You said you had weekend news, and I do think it's funny. I had this come up, and I'd be curious to have your conversations, like how you would talk to your daughter about it. But Women's World Cup, we were watching this weekend, and I had a friend post something. He's not a friend. I shouldn't say that. He's an idiot that I used to follow on Facebook. And I'm like, why am I still following this guy? But he started up the conversation about equal pay. And I think the guy has a daughter. And I kept thinking, like, why would you argue against the Women's World Cup and the team having equal pay when you have a daughter?
Mm-hmm.
That perplexed me even more. But, like, even as an aside, as a parent, isn't all of our root goal to make the world a better place for our kids? So when we talk about, like, your kids noticing, like, politics, news, things that they have questions about, would you talk to your daughter about, because the black and white issue of the equal pay thing is the mere fact
we
that there's more people attending, right? And the economics doesn't support the idea of it. If
our
you go to the black and white arc.
So our strategy, because Emily is in going to third grade, so she's 8, and she's always read as an older kid. We always give it to her straight. So we don't sugarcoat anything. Mm-hmm. Probably it overwhelms her even more because we're very real about it. So if we have not talked about equal pay in our house. I was actually at Legoland in Westchester during the Women's World Cup final. Hey. It was devastating me, but my kids needed to go to Legoland, and then a place that you could spend an hour, they spent 3 hours. Whole another conversation about how I was out of my mind. But if I was to talk to her about it, I would say, well, the problem is, you know, sometimes mommy and daddies go to work, and for doing the same job, they'll just pay the daddy more than the mom, and that's not fair. You should get paid. If you're doing the same job, producing the same thing, you should get the same amount of money. When it comes to the Women's World Cup, though, although I would want to see these girls making the same amount of money, I think it has to be, the real argument should be, are they getting paid proportionally the same amount that their men are getting paid for the amount of money that the organization is making off of them? So I don't think that is an example of equal pay, because when you watch the World Cup, most of those stadiums did not even sell out in tickets. Versus in the Men's World Cup globally, maybe not in the U.S., but globally, they're selling out in tickets. So I just think I would rather see the stats of saying proportionally to how much they make in TV revenue and all the stuff that the U.S. soccer organization is coming in, are the women proportionally getting paid less than the men? And if they are, they should proportionally get paid as much. I don't think you could do equal to equal, because women's soccer, the games are on TV.
Then it comes to what you said, if mommy and dad are doing the same thing and they're making the same product, product meaning cash flow and advertising revenue. And
no one's judging me on the number of people that come to my presentations at work versus yours. But I just think it's a crap thing.
But we're in a similar but we're in similar. We're held to the same.
But how do you
standards.
Explain that? How would you explain that to Emily? Like, oh, it's about crowd size and rating points.
Well, no,
and
it's
the
a business. It's,
call,
it's called if you hire. I say, Emily, listen, if you're going
to
start a store selling clothes,
but
you can only
right
pay your
do.
Employee.
But I think
as
it's the
much.
Right thing to do, and I do think that we're at the edge of a cultural shift where there will
listen,
be more interest in women's.
The
sports.
U.S. soccer organization wants to pay the women's team more money. By all means, because I think the argument, the right argument should be made is because of how well they're doing, even though they're bringing in less money. It's helping overall soccer in America, which helps the greater organization,
right.
which overflows into
and it's doing
the men's
right
organization.
Right.
But that's not the argument they're making. They're just saying equal pay. We're both on the field doing the same thing. So I just think they could right. be better at it. But I do
better
think...
Better at fighting for it, you're saying?
No, better at making the right argument as to, like, well, we I mean. Should be getting equal pay because look at what we're doing for soccer in America and the yeah. greater good versus comparing... Like
yeah,
I,
black and white economics.
The black
is
and white
the
economics
same thing as like the WNBA versus the
right.
NBA.
Right, that's what they say. Like it's all about crowd size yes. and all that stuff and the amount of revenue that's actually generated.
Yeah.
I just think, granted, I get that black and white argument, mm-hmm. but how on earth? I have
how
two sons, but how would you tell your kid that?
Yeah.
Like how would? I mean, we talked about this with news. Like that's one story, but like when you see bad news and you talk about the news with your kids, you tell her straight
oh.
to it.
No, so like Emily, this happened last night where she came home from camp.
Vinny tells it straight regardless if
regardless if it's
it
appropriate
or not.
Or not. So we had three.
Or if she understands it.
And so she is a scaredy cat. Emily gets scared very easily. She goes through it, like the Momo challenge. She still talks about the word Momo. She said, Daddy, it's like when somebody says Momo, M-O, it scares me. It's in my brain. I can't get it out of my head. And I was like, well, maybe you should spend more time. My response to that was, well, you get it out of your head by spending more time doing things to fill your head up. So you should be doing art projects. You should be actively doing stuff so you can forget about the bad things.
Suppress your
it's a very much
distract
correct.
Yourself.
It's avoided at all costs. So then she goes, well, I said, well, what happened at camp today? Well, apparently, and my wife cannot believe what these second graders are going to third are talking about. The first thing that came up was there was a kid on the Descendants. If anybody doesn't know, there's this young kid was found dead in L.A. Like yesterday.
Oh,
21
yeah, yeah.
years
Disney
old.
Disney Channel guy,
and the
right?
family and the family's not releasing why he died. They're
yeah,
saying it's because of medical reasons, but he had a seizure in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So to these young girls, and we come to them, like, oh, they said so-and-so died in his sleep. I don't want to go to bed. What if I die in my sleep?
Great.
So then I had to explain to her. I go, well, people die in their sleep for two reasons. One, he had probably had a chronic illness, but his family. Well, what was it? I said that his family doesn't want to say. I said, or this is
drugs. Come
I
on.
I said he could have been taking a lot of medications,
of
not telling his doctors what he was taking. And then if you take medicine or drugs that you're not supposed to, you could die from that in your sleep as well, Emily. So we don't know. It'll come out. But there's two things this could have happened to. And I said, because there was a baseball player who died 2 weeks ago in his sleep. And now, you know, people say maybe he was taking drugs and his two or three doctors are giving him prescriptions that he didn't want to tell each doctor. And that's a bad thing.
Is that true about the baseball player?
Allegedly, that's what I've been reading. Huh. I don't want to go on. Allegedly, yes, that's what we're hearing. So
Vinny's trying not
they
to get
scrubbed
sued.
His, no, they scrubbed his medical. They scrubbed his medical record. So it wasn't online because they don't want to tarnish his reputation, yes. which makes sense. So then immediately it goes from me doing that to then, well, Daddy, I also heard that when you go to Israel and you go to the place that's called Elantine and you say that you're Jewish, they kill you. And I was like, Emily,
she's getting a lot out of camp.
I said, that's not really true. However, I said, Israel is in the Middle East and it's a very violent part of the world. When you watch it on the news, there is a lot of dangers. And that's what we talk about. What war is. War is when countries don't like each other, people go to battle and people die and it's terrible. Well, why are they having war? Because people don't like each other's religions. And then
they open a can of worms.
But I said, you're safe here. She goes, I never want to leave Port Washington. I said, well, you never have to.
You really said that? Come on.
Yeah, and I said, we're never going to. I said, and don't worry, we're not going to the Middle East. And then she goes, well.
You're not even going to Italy
thing.
At this
goes,
point.
Yeah. And then another girl told me that there's a country that, like, when you're there, if you're with your parents and you say you want to leave the country, what they'll do is they'll arrest your parents and they'll separate you from them and you'll never see them again.
Jesus.
Which I said, which I said to Emily, I don't believe that story. I've never heard of that, Emily. And then 4 hours later, my wife went for a run. We were putting Emily to bed. And so Lisa came in and I was like, Emily wants to tell you about her day. We go through all the three stories again. And then when she told the last one, it went off in my wife's head that what that really was about was the Mexican border crisis.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, Elisa, you're so smart. So then I explained to Emily, I go, listen, Emily, I've told you this story before. There are kids in these countries and their parents want to bring them here. Or maybe they're not their real parents. We don't really know. It's what's happening. But when they come here, they get interviewed, and sometimes you have to be separated from your parents because what they want to do is make sure that the people who are bringing you here are actually your parents. And if they're your parents, they'll try to get them back with you. And if they're not, then we'll try to get you new parents. But, like, it's a terrible thing. And, you know, we have to protect. It's a lot of things going on. But don't worry, because we're not going anywhere. And that's why the United States is a great country. And it's a great place to live here.
I am so happy that the only stories I have to deal with Brady coming home from school are Joey didn't let me play with Legos today.
Yeah. We're edging closer.
Billy bit me today.
We're edging closer to your time. Like, my older one will be 8 next week, and he's starting to ask a few more questions, and God forbid if he sees the news. And then if there's a school shooting, we're really screwed.
Oh, Emily loves you. So if I have the Today Show on in the morning and I go to change it, she's like, no, keep the news on. Yeah. But
I gotta know what's happening.
Yeah, she's all about current events. She wants it all, and you can't.
Yeah.
She is. I mean, I can't, and I'm just like, here we go, girlfriend. I mean, she'd rather sit around at a party with all the adults. Oh, like, we were somewhere a couple weeks ago, and I was like, Emily, why don't you go talk to the young kids? She goes, no, I'd rather be here. Okay, so we live life hard. And speaking of current news, segue into this. So we talked about in the beginning of this episode, there was going to be some breaking news today. And what a lot of our fans, so we've been at this, what, a year and a half, Danny?
A little over a year.
A year and a half. We started this journey.
May was a year.
We started a journey with, there was three of us. And then at one point, some people, old podcasters may remember, there was a fourth.
Oh, yeah.
We had an intern, Jake.
Jake
came.
That was a solid month.
He was here. And then Daniel.
He used to sleep here.
Yeah, he used to be here. Yeah. Right.
You really are. Had to put up with
so
much.
He would come over and, like, the night before and sleep over. And then Daniel, I think, didn't like Jake, so he got a cat. And Jake had bad allergies. So we ran Jake out of the podcast with a cat.
Bella ran Jake out of here.
Right. And then what happened was, for people that don't realize, we all did used to work together at one point. And then Danny and Daniel needed to protect their direct deposits and get better jobs. So they left.
Exactly.
Us. So then over the last, like, 5 months, we've all been, the only time we've really seen each other is at the podcast. And for what we've called
Random planning sessions.
And some planning sessions.
A couple.
But what we have joked about as being Dad So Hard Studios is actually Daniel's apartment.
Yes. That we're on YouTube, you know
can see
that.
This is where he lives.
You know we're not lying.
You're not lying. This is where it is. So, and it is located in the East Village. We won't give out the
exact. Yeah, I was going to say, please don't
give us security, for security purposes. Well, I gave it out incorrectly to Amanda.
Porch.
I'm not even sure I know the address because I gave Amanda the wrong address.
No,
she
gave me the right one.
I mean, you should give it to the guests.
I've been
you don't have to give it to the podcast.
It's not going
to
be part of the hashtag.
I've been known to give some guests an intersection. it's been terrible. But the news is, this is actually our last episode being recorded in Dad So Hard in these studios. Studio. Daniel has decided that he hates Danny so much that he is going to be leaving the podcast. So we are breaking news here first. Last week was the last episode Daniel edited. So
you're going to edit this one?
Yeah, I need to take all the equipment. Oh. I'm not coming back here to pick the shit up.
Okay. Wow. So just be prepared
for
the sound.
What a hell
of a goodbye. Wiping my hands.
Right.
Be prepared for the sound quality and the editing to go way down.
Yeah. So the podcast will go on. So don't fret about that. But it'll be reinvented in different ways. Or maybe not. But we won't be. There'll be new stuff coming. That said, though, we want to give a big thank you to Daniel because without him. Dad So Hard
wouldn't exist.
Yeah, it'd be just probably Dad Hard. There'd be no so.
Or it would just be Vinny and I talking and you guys never hearing it.
There'd be no photos. There may have been, there probably would have been no opening credits.
There wouldn't
be
a podcast.
There would not be a podcast.
I can assure you that.
Would have taken.
Cold opens?
There would be no cold opens. So there was a lot going on.
He is still working on the highlights episode.
Oh, one day, yeah. Let's thank Daniel for the end of year podcast, the best of the podcast episode. Never got it. All the photos he's taken of us while we recorded, never happened.
No, that did.
Like once. Let's hold him accountable. What about all the breaking news stories? We were like, I guess breaking news, Daniel.
That happened.
That happened. I think that's when he got mad at us and just said, I'm going to stop these two motherfuckers.
He found breaking news live a few times.
But what we will say is Daniel is available if anybody wants to start a podcast. he's here to advise.
Joining Barstool, I'm going to do a couple podcasts.
I mean, first of all, if you were to leave this podcast and show up somewhere else.
Could you imagine?
Yeah. I mean, you already broke my heart last week. I mean, literally.
And then all he does is show you the paycheck.
Yeah. For all the advertising revenue that this new podcast receives. And
I didn't get downloads.
Yeah. I walked in. I told Daniel he made me cry last week because I got dumped via text message. I was devastated, and we all know I'm a crybaby, so I
cried.
He
was devastated. I had to hold
him at
work.
Amanda saw me at work. I was in a panic attack.
No, we're close enough, though. Okay. But he did come down to my office, like, red-rimmed eyes.
No, good answer.
Yes, it was on the heels of my daughter lost a personal trainer. Then we had to give away our dog on Sunday. And then I got dumped by you. It was a rough 4 days of change. And then my au pair is switching next Tuesday. I have a new au pair coming. My other au pair is leaving. This is the month.
Rip off the band-aid.
It's been rough.
If you can't tell, Vinny deals well with change.
Yes.
I could not handle it. So, but we need to thank you. We actually got you something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, heads up.
It's a giant dildo.
It's not just, yeah.
What'd you
a little
get?
Bottle of scotch.
A bottle of booze. Ooh.
Boys, this is really nice.
So, you drink. Don't drink it all at one time.
Well, I'd be able to die.
That's good dad advice right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at you two.
This is awesome.
Trying not to get a stomach pumped.
Is there anything else you'd like to say? Say, what kind of goodbye have you planned for this podcast, Daniel?
I actually hadn't planned a goodbye, but...
Shocking. I'm shocked. Here.
Yeah, I know.
Take a minute.
Was it too prepared?
Take a minute to pull your thoughts together. If you need a tissue... I don't have one.
No, I mean, you guys have been great. You were my mentors at NBC for a couple years.
Aww.
And now I consider myself not quite on your level, but almost a peer, I would say.
Friend. I would say absolutely.
Yeah, peer,
on
friend, brothers.
Maybe.
No, but really, this was a lot of fun, guys, and I appreciate you including me in it.
Oh, we love it.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you.
Wouldn't have done it with anyone else.
It was fun.
I guess now we have to, but.
Yeah. But you wouldn't have originally.
Yes.
Correct. I said like 5 episodes ago, I called this a thruple. And I don't think it fell. You guys really didn't realize how much we were. So now me and Danny are just back to being a bromance.
Yeah. Oh, because couple with 3. Got it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out where you got that word.
Did it take you 6 weeks to figure out what thruple meant? Thruple. It's like when couples have like a third and they're like a thruple. People live like
that. Sounds like a weird suburb thing you've got going on.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not. I mean, listen,
yeah,
if I.
Key parties.
If anybody wants
right
to join.
Right in Port Washington.
It's the thruplehood of the North Shore. So, Daniel will be back in future episodes sometime somewhere. We will get him back on the pod. And hopefully he'll comment and send us emails.
And I hope this leads to more lunches and
yeah, absolutely.
Dinners, and or
absolutely.
Dinners.
Possibly.
Look at him. He's already.
I'm definite yes, and Vinny's like,
I'm moving on.
We'll see what happens. I'm still mourning. I'm mourning. It takes me a while to get over my grief.
God.
7 stages of mourning. I haven't gone to anger yet.
I think you have.
Still
I may have. I still may be in denial.
Hysterics.
But
anywhere if people love this podcast,
follow us
on
Instagram,
do?
Facebook at That's So Hard Podcast, Twitter at That's So Hard Pod. Email us thatsohardpodcast@gmail.com. Check out the website. We are dadsohard.com.
Tell your family and friends.
Rate, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Leave us reviews. And if you like us, show us around and make people subscribe as well.
And watch us on YouTube.
Yes. Oh, yeah, YouTube. That's a hard podcast.
We love it. Peace. Thank you, guys. Thanks. Peace.